down.
There was a firefight!
Welcome, everybody, to Capes and Scowls, episode number 30.
Woo!
Thank you, Cliff.
Thank you. He's excited.
I'm yes. Tim.
I'm Rashid.
I'm Leander.
Cliff.
And Olivia.
Yes, we got Cliff and Olivia back because everybody loved them so much and they said we need more Cliff and Olivia, and I said okay.
All right.
I don't believe that one
I
second.
I don't believe
you.
It at all either.
It's all word of mouth. There's no trail to follow.
And they're all dead. All the ones that said they love you guys, we just killed them.
We cannot confirm or deny it.
So that you guys would never be able to trace the trail.
Correct.
Of the people who love you guys.
Poor Tom.
Yeah. So, how is everybody?
I'm good.
Quickly, how's everybody? You good? Quickly. How is everybody? Quickly.
All right, but you know that if I do it quickly, then Ryan Young's going to skip 5 seconds, it's going to be over, so.
I don't podcast for Ryan Young. I love you, Ryan Young.
I'm doing fine. I got nothing going on right now. Yeah, I'm not used to that.
I don't either.
This is a weird time in my life where nothing's going on.
I think I, tore something in my knee. And, something that's not that important, but, every time I try and go fast, my knee gives out on me. But I don't like going to the doctor, so I'm probably just going to complain about it on the podcast.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. I like that.
Yeah.
It's a good move.
Let's see
it's
how many podcast episodes it goes until he goes to the doctor.
We could document that. That'll be good. We could document it for your doctor.
Mm-hmm. That's fine, yeah.
Right. You can give him the recording. This is what happened every single time I podcast it. This other time, it moved to the left a little bit.
And I just, stretched and, hyperextended my knee a bit. And I was like, oh, that felt weird. And, it was when I was going down my stairs to my apartment, I just felt, this, pinch every time I was walking down the stairs. And I was just like, no, I'll just do yoga or something. I just tell myself something that I'm obviously not going to do to mentally feel better about it.
All right.
Just a little bit.
Well, the WebMD response to knee pain is knee cancer.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Or knee AIDS.
Right.
Yeah.
Or both.
Yeah.
Knee AIDS. Right? Yeah. So tough to get rid of.
Yeah.
It's an epidemic.
Well, you know what they say. If you rub knees with somebody, you rub knees with every knee they've ever kneed.
It started with a monkey's knee. What?
I found out on Monday I have to drive to Island, New Jersey for a training, which then changed my schedule at work to, instead of being down at 4, now I have to stay later because I have to go to this training. It doesn't make any sense to me.
It doesn't make sense.
It's like an hour and a half drive for a 2-hour training, then drive another hour and a half back to work.
That's horrible.
Jeez. Yeah.
I'm sure you made a mistake somewhere.
There was a mess up.
My promotion's the mistake.
Yes and no. No, I also got a promotion at work.
Nice.
And basically do damage control all day now.
Nice.
Damage control.
All right.
Welcome to management.
So you guys both recently got a promotion. Does that make you guys a power couple? Is that how that works?
I think
that's how it works.
I guess we're the resident power couple.
Correct.
All right. Well played.
I feel like I peaked. I'm not getting any more promotions, so I'm not a power or anything.
Maybe you'll end up with your own store.
No, I'm good.
The sister brother store, a comic book store.
At 30 North.
30 North Main Street, Glassboro, New Jersey. Yeah, we got to get our plug in from our ultra sponsor.
Yes, that we love.
Maybe Al just
that was a little sarcasm.
I love Al. I'm not. Yeah. Wait. When is he supposed to be on here?
When we ask him.
Okay.
Yeah, I confronted him about that.
Yeah.
And he was like, "Oh, he did say that, did he? Crap."
But he's afraid of technology.
He is. We're gonna have to get an old. I don't know.
An old timey radio.
Yeah. Get an 8-track recorder.
That's what we're gonna have to do.
Because that this might frighten him away.
Yeah.
Well, see, I was actually talking with Al yesterday about, is it legal to, have a recorder in your pocket while you talk to somebody and them not have knowledge of it? So what we can do, we can just ask him a bunch of general comic book questions in the shop.
Oh, my God, that would be awesome.
And then add it to the podcast.
Right. And he'll be like, oh my God, you did the thing that you asked me about.
Exactly.
Like,
he'll be proud.
If you listen to our podcast, like you claim you do, you would have known that we were going to do that.
That's exactly. True. It's basically us telling him right now that we are going to record you when we talk to you. So this is our,
I think this makes it okay.
Yeah, I think
so
we're
then
good.
If we start asking him questions, then he goes, are you recording me for the podcast? Then we'll know that he listens.
Mm.
If he doesn't bring up anything, then we'll know that he doesn't.
That's true.
I know that he doesn't.
We all know that he doesn't.
No, it doesn't come from a hateful place. He doesn't.
No.
No.
It's not one of his tabs on the internet.
Nope.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So, I guess you want to dive into the news?
Let's do it.
All right. Well, before we dive into the news, we got to talk about Hakeem.
Yes. Yes, we should.
Indeed.
Hakeem, who was on our last episode and our last minisode and probably another minisode by the time this goes up, he was on a lot. We love Hakeem. He actually just had his apartment catch on fire, and this is right before the holiday season, and really sucks. So there is a GoFundMe for him. If anybody wants to chip in, you can. He would be eternally grateful, because Hakeem is a super guy.
Mm-hmm.
So
do we have the link on that?
We can put it on our Facebook.
We'll put it,
we can.
Okay.
Put it on the Facebook.
Yeah, check our Facebook for the link for it. Hawk's just, like, a really good dude. I mean, like, he uses his free time a lot of time to volunteer, to work for children, and it just couldn't happen at a worse time to a better person. So he's a good friend of ours. Hopefully, just from listening, we're good friends of yours. You know, you can, you know, if you see us on the street, we'd consider you our friends just for listening to the podcast. So if you'd like to help us out, help out somebody that we care about, any amount will be appreciated, any donation, whether it be monetary or, you know, just some toilet paper just to help one of our good friends get by. Thank you.
Yeah, and I'm sure Al won't mind, so if you need to drop anything off for Hakeem, you can go to the comic book store at 30 North Main Street, Glassboro, New Jersey, and just let him know it's for Hakeem.
There you go. You could do that. All right, awesome.
All right.
All right, so news.
Yes.
News. Michael B. Jordan, who played the Human Torch.
Creed.
And Creed.
Correct. He is co-creating a new comic book at Dark Horse. It will be created with Nathan Edmondson, who has done Grifter, Punisher, Black Widow. We've mentioned him a bunch on the podcast. I feel like he's so close to, like, really getting in his groove and writing something really good.
Yeah.
Not that those books weren't, like, all right, but, right. You know, he's, like, right there to writing something really great. Apparently they met in New York at a comic book store. They were just both doing a promotion. He was probably doing Fantastic Four stuff at the time, and they hit it off. Yeah, they hit it off. They're like best friends.
He's like, I gotta get credibility back in the comic world after that.
Well, yeah, that's basically what this is. I mean, he didn't get scared off by how god awful that movie is.
That's good,
so,
though.
Yeah, so it will come out soon, maybe. It's basically a super spy book where they make the spy more super by giving him powers or something to that nature. Of course, the main character looks like him, and something goes wrong, and it's pretty much he gets burned, and it's like burn notice means James Bond kind of idea.
Okay.
So you know, it sounds kind of cool, because when I was first reading the description, I'm like, this is just every other thing, and yeah, it's cool, it's got a name attached to it, but like not a big name, at least not yet, you know, but. It sounds kind of cool, and I feel like Nathan Edmondson is close to breaking out with a cool new book.
I'm just a little surprised, because like, I don't know that much about Michael B. Jordan, but it just seems like I don't know if this is something where it's like, hey, like I could sell more books by attaching your name to this. Are you interested? Or if this is something that he had, like he was part of the creative process. So that kind of makes me interested right there.
Yeah, I mean, it's all speculation at this point. They did go to Dark Horse, which is interesting, because Edmondson works for Marvel right now.
Right, okay.
So, but why didn't they go to Image? I would go to Image.
Yeah.
Dark Horse is great. It's very similar to Image, but...
If I see Image, I'm like, oh, it's... I just assume it's good for the most part if it's Image. Not saying that I don't...
Which Dark will bite Horse. You in the ass before
yeah.
you
yeah.
know it.
Yeah.
I mean,
did.
Dark Horse has had some pretty interesting books.
No, Dark Horse is great.
Yeah, this Dan Bann was like a pretty good read over the summer. It's just about to wrap up now, but I mean, they got a lot of nice indie books on the rise, so I'll probably check that out, and maybe I'll review one later. ..
Mm-hmm.
the X-Men Apocalypse trailer is out. Has everyone seen the trailer?
Have we seen Jubilee? Is that what you asked me?
Yep. Yes, I saw it and didn't care.
Right.
About the whole X-Men and besides Jubilee, that's pretty sad.
I saw the trailer and I felt better about Apocalypse and worse about everything else.
To be fair, I didn't notice Jubilee the first time I saw it. Yeah. Olivia texted me and said, did you see Jubilee?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, no.
Stop.
I had to have the time stamped to look and notice her.
59 seconds in.
Because she's not in there very long. It's just...
it's like a shot.
Like, there she is.
Yeah, right. You feel better about Apocalypse?
I do.
I feel better about Apocalypse.
Now, every... I was watching the movie, or the character? The character.
Okay. The way he looks.
It seems like they didn't really show him head on, though. It was like every shot that I saw, I mean, maybe I have to watch it again, seemed a little angled. Like, it was just like the back of his head.
That could be the whole movie.
Yeah, I feel like they're like, wow, he looks terrible. Like, he looks like Ivanhoe still.
Sure.
See, but... I feel like he looks less like Ivanhoe in the trailer than in, like, the stills and everything.
Right.
He's way less purple.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they... I mean, we'll see when the movie's out. But I was like, they know that, you know, people don't like how he looks. So this is just kind of damage control to kind of put something up. Like, especially showing off, like, Jubilee and some of the other X-Men. Is like, let's just, you know, give them something else to talk about.
Right.
It seemed like that.
Yeah, I'm not super excited for this movie, I'm not going to lie. Because I feel like the timeline that was fixed is still wrong. I feel like Scott Summers should not be younger than Alex Summers, for example, and things like that.
My big issue is, like, where does Wolverine stand since Stryker's not in charge, since Mystique pulled him out? So is he going to end up adamantium or stay Bone Claw?
That's a good question. I mean, my other thing... Though, kind of off of that question is that they just showed Mystique. Mystique was never, you know, powered up throughout the trailer. She was just like her normal self. And I know Jennifer Lawrence didn't want to really, she didn't like the makeup process, but like that, I feel like that's an integral part of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So are you trying to keep your actors happy or are you trying to keep the fan base happy? And I think Fox is really at a spot where, like, you know, this is a make or break year for a lot of their comic book licenses. Fox had the Fantastic Four, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're coming off of that. People aren't as excited about this movie as they seem like they would have been. And I think, you know, they can't handle another bomb.
They can, because Deadpool will happen first.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
They
can
handle a bomb.
That's true.
That movie still looks awesome.
Yeah.
Right.
I have no problem with the Deadpool movie. I'm sure it'll be decent.
Well, if you enjoyed or didn't enjoy the X-Men Apocalypse trailer, YouTube user Philly Steak has remade the trailer using clips from the 90s X-Men cartoon, and it is way better.
Well, nice.
Sure.
Down to every frame. Awesome. Jubilee's still in it for 10 seconds.
Yeah.
So, it's pretty fun, so check that out.
I think it would have been better if they just kept the original trailer and used the 90s theme music.
They should just use that theme music for
everything. For everything. For everything.
Yeah. I'd be pumped everything to do anything.
Yeah. It can do anything. It's magical.
File your taxes. I'm like, oh my god, I gotta finish these.
I gotta do it now.
Taxes are so good. All right. Vin Diesel has reached a multi-year deal to put Riddick on TV.
Not surprised.
Why?
Because he loves Riddick.
Yeah.
A lot.
Why?
I don't know. He does.
He did one of the Fast and the Furious movies for free, so he could have the rights to Riddick.
Stop.
True. Yeah, he did.
So he was like, he's attached to that character. He loves it. He paid for the most recent one.
Mm-hmm.
All him.
Yeah, that is dumb.
It wasn't awful.
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't amazing, but it wasn't awful.
I still think they get worse. The first one, I think, is the best. The second one's fine. It's still a good movie. The third one isn't as good as...
The cartoon's great.
There's a cartoon about Riddick?
Yeah, it bridges the first and second movie. And it's the animation team that did Aeon Flux. It's awesome.
I haven't seen any of those movies, honestly.
They're okay.
I did not like Vin Diesel as an actor for a really long time.
I still don't.
So that kind of like persuaded me to not see them. The most interaction I've had with that series is the video game for, I think it was original Xbox, was like really good.
It was one of the last Xbox games, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was really good, and my cousin had it, and I just remember it was like a first-person game more so than a first-person shooter. There was a lot of like fighting and everything. It was really good, but I never really got into it that much.
It was what, Pitch Black?
Pitch Black was first.
It's actually good. Mm-hmm. It's worth watching.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a cool idea.
Yeah, is it on Netflix?
Probably.
I don't know.
I haven't seen it. I don't know.
No, I haven't.
I wasn't looking.
Fair enough. I'll search it.
So yeah, he's got a multi-year deal with NBC. He does not necessarily plan to be the star of it, though, which is kind of interesting. So he just loves Riddick, and he's making sure it's on TV.
Even more of a reason to watch.
Yeah.
For me.
Exactly.
I get the character without the Vin Diesel. I just, like, does anybody remember what was it? Was it the
Fast and Furious?
It was Fast 5 or 4 where, like, there's just this impossible action scene where he breaks in and, like,
to be fair, that's all of them.
Wait. He breaks into this garage and he like beats up this dude, and there's like a 3,000-pound engine just hanging in suspense, and he holds the guy out of the window and stops the engine right before it falls on the guy's face. Okay. Does anybody remember that?
So I know what you're talking about, and I've worked on cars extensively.
Right.
They're not that, the engines aren't that heavy. Since he went toe to toe with The Rock, you have to assume that he's a strong dude.
Right.
It's on like a winch.
Right,
so,
okay.
Like, holding onto it isn't that unrealistic.
But to catch it right as it's about to smash the guy's face without any, like, yanking, you're like, that guy would have been dead. Would you confirm that guy would have been dead?
Oh, if he had dropped it, yeah, his head would have been smushed.
But, like, even Vin Diesel.
Right, no, yes, I understand what you're saying, but it's not that unplausible. Okay. If it had been The Rock, would you have believed it more?
Yeah, it's The Rock. It's the bottom line. If The Rock says that's supposed to happen, who am I to question The Rock?
Right, so we'll just assume that that's what The Rock said.
Different levels of credibility.
There you go. That would just help with any issues you're having in your life. The Rock probably said it's fine. Yeah.
Fine is one thing. The bottom line is another.
Wow. There's a lot of bottom lines.
True. A lot of bottom lines.
Or no, I'm sorry. I'm confusing The Rock and Stone Cold, actually, right now. That's a faux pas on my behalf. You know what?
Faux pas.
Never mind. Vin Diesel wins this round.
Okay. Winner by default.
Just like in the movie.
Yeah. Maybe he'll smash my face next.
All right. New story. Here we go. Free Comic Book Day. The books have been announced, and there's an interesting book in all of it. There's a new Captain America number one in with the Free Comic Book Day books. So the question is, and it has the logo Captain America number one, but it's like blacked out so you can't see the cover. So that raises the question, is this a reprint of the current number one? Or, more likely, is it a brand new number one, again, with Steve Rogers, probably young as Captain America again, right before Civil War comes out in the theaters.
Now, that's a tough assumption, because that's what I would think initially, but they're relaunching, or they're doing another arc for Civil Wars in the comics around the time when the movie comes out. Mm-hmm. And the image I saw for the solicitation was Iron Man versus Sam Wilson, Captain America.
So kill him off right beforehand, and you got Steve Rogers coming back.
But that's for the Civil War comic book.
That's fine.
I mean, that's what I would assume it's going to be.
Wow.
Because
that's also me assuming Marvel can get an event done in time.
Yeah.
Before a movie comes out.
I don't think that'll happen, though.
I think there's enough, like, general interest in the movie that, like, the comic doesn't need to line up with how the movie's going.
I don't think Sam Wilson's selling that well, though. So, I mean, don't quote me on that, but I started reading it, but then when they bought the whole Capwolf thing back, I was like, okay, I'm good on this, and I haven't picked it back up since.
Capwolf.
Yeah.
So 90s.
Yeah, I was like, are you serious with this? And I don't know.
That book wasn't selling good before Secret Wars.
Yeah, okay.
So it just wasn't coming out regularly.
Right. And that's where they are now, because like they stopped that four, and I haven't seen a new issue in about a month.
Also, as soon as it came out, was it Axis happened immediately after the first Captain America, when Sam Wilson comes Captain America? So he's already screwed. He's already screwed. Because right. Axis happens immediately in issue two of Captain America. So, like, well, it didn't even matter. They just screwed him over as soon as he got in the new suit.
It's funny that they screwed up the Captain America book, but he was good in other places he showed up. He was, like, on every Avenger team. What else? He was in something else, wasn't he? He was just everywhere. I remember every book you reviewed, you're like, for some reason, Sam Wilson's here.
Yeah, Mighty Avengers, he was there.
Right.
And a couple others. But, again, he was still... Axis had already happened, and he already switched over. So, he never really got to even play his regular Captain America role at all. Mm-hmm. And then Secret Wars happens.
Now, in the movie universe, are you pumped to see Falcon Cap if it happens? Because it probably will.
You think so? Point.
Absolutely.
Right. You mean Captain Falcon?
Captain Falcon, yes.
I think Anthony Mackie is, like, one of the best actors out right now. And I've felt that way since, what was that movie I saw? And I was like, they need to put this guy in something awesome. And then he was in Captain America. The Adjustment Bureau. Has anybody else seen The Adjustment Bureau? Anthony Mackie in that movie is, like, phenomenal.
It's the Matt Damon...
No, I saw the movie. I just didn't... I have no idea what character he was.
He was one of the adjusters.
He's the one that
helps Matt Damon.
That started to help Matt Damon. And he's like, this is what is actually happening. This is how the Adjustment Bureau works. I'll help you escape them.
So it was a cool movie. I just don't remember that. Mm. Okay. Yeah, but I think that's how it's going. I think you're going to get Captain America Falcon and Amadeus Cho Hulk and all these new characters
they want you to have.
Think so?
Yeah, I do.
I agree, but like you're talking like after
Infinity Wars,
right?
For most of that stuff, yes. Because that's when all the contracts run out.
Right.
It's sad that you can figure out plot points, likely plot points.
No, I was thinking the same thing with... But, you know, the weird thing for, like, you know, if you think of the new comics, like, the new Invincible Iron Man is still Tony Stark. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Robert Downey Jr.'s deal is running out, so I do want to see what they do with that, because to lose that movie, or to lose that, series, would cause Marvel, like, you gotta think, at least, like, that movie does, what, like, at least $500 million every time it comes out?
Probably.
Yeah. So like they're not gonna stop making.
No, Iron I mean Man like movies. Robert Dungeon is starting to look closer to his own age now.
Right.
Than
right.
he should be.
And there's someone else who can play the character.
Right.
Yeah, but once they start doing that, it's gonna go downhill. Once they get new people.
Yeah, you're supposed to ride this wave until it's over.
Mm-hmm.
It'll go a little farther than it's supposed to, but you just gotta enjoy it. All right, and I got one more news story that Leander will like, I think. Talking about huge hits, Marvel has a huge hit on its hands with The Vision, number one. The Vision has been selling apparently amazing, and it's gotten all good reviews.
Yeah.
So Marvel is going to put the full number one comic, they're going to reprint it in the back of Spider-Man Deadpool number one. They're just going to slap it on the back. They're like, this book's so good, I want more people to know about it. And that book, which I think comes out in a month or two.
January, yeah.
Yeah, it's still just going to be a $3.99 book.
Really?
So it's a buy one, get one, basically.
That's cool.
Nice.
Has anybody here read Vision?
Yes.
Leander loves it.
You really liked it? Like, it was really good?
Yeah,
it's really good. I will say the first issue, and this is why I didn't review it, I did not like. I thought it was like a little too meta. It was trying to be a little too deep, and I was just like, this is not what I wanted out of a Vision comic book.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the second issue, my foot was totally in my mouth. I like what they're doing with it. I like the drama appeal to it because it feels so much more than a superhero story. And the psychological viewpoints from the book are very... I don't know the word I'm looking for, but it describes a very human-like story with androids.
And
I think when they show... I mean, did you review the second one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, when they show certain parts, like how the brother deals with the situation in school, it's dealing with importance of self-worth and, like, where your place is in the universe as an android, but it's something that's very relatable to the human experience. And I think that book... it's phenomenal. Yeah. Like, the second issue, I love.
Yeah. I was already going into it wanting the Vision that was in issue number one, Because the vision that's in issue number one is the same vision that's in the movie currently. Like, that's the same kind of vision that you see in the movie. It's the human...
Okay.
Basically evaluating what it means to be human, you know? And they bring that up in issue number one, and it goes into issue number two. I will still always say the best part of Marvel, of Avengers 2, with Vision in it, whereas is when at the very end, Vision was, like, telling Ultron, like, the best part about humanity is that, yes, it's failed. It's doomed. It's going to be destroyed. Humans don't know how to take care of themselves. They're going to destroy the planet. But there's something beautiful in seeing things to the end, you know? And that statement was the best statement I've heard, period. And so I liked that the book kind of picks up from that idea of, like,
letting things play out.
Yeah,
no matter how the end is.
Right.
If you can predict the end, no matter what it's going to be.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah. Because there's a lot of things that his family is bringing up to him that he's already figured out. Because this is not the Vision from, like... So, like, his wife and the kids are, like, the current Vision. Whereas, in the movie. Whereas the Vision in the comic book is the one that's been alive for, like, years and years and years. And he's figured stuff out.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought that was a cool thing that they were just throwing it in there for free.
Yeah,
with that other book. I mean, Deadpool sells a lot. Spider-Man sells a lot. Mm-hmm. I would assume this book will sell.
I think so.
And probably to people who aren't going to pick up the Vision. Like, you know, your college kid kind of crowd. That's right. Like, oh, Deadpool. Gotta get Deadpool.
Now, do you think I understand what they're doing because, you know, it's like pretty much what you said. Deadpool sells well. Spider-Man sells well. Mm-hmm. Is it the target audience, though? Because I think, like... The Vision or the Visions? I'm not actually sure of the title. Is it
the Visions?
Yeah, with the S, right?
Mm-hmm.
Deadpool is that kind of comedic, like, ha-ha, like, you know. I think it's a different kind of reader than the person that's going to read the Visions. So I would put it, you know, it might take a while, but put it in the back of the first issue of Black Panther or something like that. Mm-hmm. Something where, like, you know the reader is going to get attached to this comic book as well. Because somebody's going to, you know... The Spider-Man and the Deadpool people, it's in there, so they're going to read it. Right. But I don't think they're going to, you know, go out and buy the trade or go and add it to their bin necessarily.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly good always to expand your audience, but that's going to be a tough sell.
Yeah.
The Deadpool.
It seems like from what the Visions is totally opposite of what you want when you're reading Deadpool.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
like,
right.
Super deep and, like, real thought-provoking and just...
Nonsensical killing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. That's true. That's a very good point.
I hope it works. I mean, I love the Vision.
I mean, some of us might still pick up Spider-Man Deadpool.
I'm probably going to pick it up.
I'll think about it. I'm not a huge Deadpool fan.
It can be done well, you know, because they're both comedic characters, even though one is so ultra-violent, and one has, you know, great responsibility and power and all that crap.
Sure.
So, it'd be interesting. I mean, in the 90s, they played well together, but...
We'll see.
The actor who's playing Spider-Man, what's his name?
Tom something
was on the set for Doctor Strange.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh. Oh nice.
But so
are they doing a Miles Morales Spider-Man or regular Peter Parker Spider-Man?
It's Peter Parker.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But that's not to say that Miles Morales won't show up at some point. Mm-hmm. You never know. But it was interesting because he was on set, but he wasn't like acting or doing anything necessarily. I feel like Marvel's just flying him to everywhere.
Just, yeah.
Be like, just yeah, let's just mess with people.
Right.
Yeah, he's in Doctor Strange. Yeah, he's there.
Although, if he is like the Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon, he should be in all of those different movies.
Yeah, I was just talking to Tim about this recently. I started watching Web Warriors, and there's actually an episode with Doctor Strange. And Spider-Man gets the Cloak of Levitation.
I was just watching it.
Wow, this is actually cool. Like,
yeah.
I don't mind this that much.
Yeah, that one's a really good show. It's a really good show.
Yeah, I just go through and, like, because...
It's on Netflix.
I don't want to watch it, you know, episode by episode, so I just look at the synopsis for the episode, and I'm like, oh, I like that character. Oh, Iron Fist is in this one, and I just kind of pick and choose like that.
That is the way that season 3 is going. Season 1 and 2, I'll watch all the way through, but season 3, I'm definitely picking
now,
and choosing. Now,
see, those two aren't on there anymore, but I think the first episode I watched was the Doctor Strange one had Cloak and Dagger in it,
yeah,
too.
Right.
So I was like, this is
that
awesome.
One.
Yeah, like, this many characters in this show that's on Disney Channel.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing that actually made me dive into it.
Yeah, the first two seasons are really good. And then season three, I think you can kind of pick and choose what you want.
Right.
Based on what characters you like.
Cool. You guys ready to do reviews?
Sure.
Sure.
There's a ton of books on this table. Who wants to start? Cliff.
Cliff.
Always start with the guests.
Mm-hmm. I guess I'll start with what's become apparently Lou's favorite book of all time.
Correct.
I'll review Secret Wars number 8.
Number 8.
I've read through it. I think it's been fine. I haven't been excited about anything. I'm finishing out the event. It sort of continues along how the rest of it has. Some stuff doesn't make sense because we don't know how characters have ended up where they were. My biggest thing is, why is Thing like 50 stories tall? And apparently that's in one of the tie-ins. I didn't read one of the tie-ins.
How dare you not read one of those 9,000 tie-ins?
But there's a really awesome like fight in this book between Thanos and Doom. So that's interesting to see, like, Thanos, who's considered, you know, one of the biggest baddies of all time, and Doom, who is God.
Mm-hmm.
And then Star-Lord's in it, and he gets attacked and has a really interesting turn of events. In that, the art's been what's kept me really interested in this whole thing. I think it's solid throughout. Mm-hmm. Like, I enjoy looking at what I'm reading, so that makes up for some of the lack in story. But it ends with, you know, just seeing what happens when God fights somebody with the Infinity Gauntlet.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, it's pretty intense.
Pretty awesome.
Nice.
God 1 v. God 2.
Interesting. If you want to know what happens, you have to read it.
Right.
If you care.
If it ever comes out.
Yeah, January, supposedly. It'll end.
Some January.
Mm. Some January, maybe this millennia. Olivia, you want to go?
Yeah. Have you reviewed the DK3 yet?
We have not.
Mm-mm. Oh, okay.
So I'm glad you are.
I read Dark Knight 3 Master Race, and basically the whole thing is like one question after another that I have. It's like, like it kind of takes you through the Batman's back, or so we think, and he's beating up police for some reason, and now like Gotham's like in an outrage. Like, there's a media circus, like, why is the Batman back, and why is he beating up cops, blah, blah, blah. And then, I don't know, this new commissioner, like, I'm not sure, I mean, I haven't been, like, following Batman that much. This is kind of, like, out of the blue for me to read. Mm-hmm. So there's, like, a Commissioner Yindel. Who's this character now. So I don't know if, like, she's brand new or what. So she's kind of there. Anyway, and then all of a sudden we go into, you know, Wonder Woman territory all of a sudden, and Wonder Woman has a baby on her back. So I can only assume it's hers.
She steals babies. It's what she does.
Spoiler alert. Wonder Woman has a baby.
You're going to be an Amazon kid.
And now I'm like, wait, did like Batman knock up Wonder Woman? What's going on?
Right.
But I don't know. And then who I assume is Supergirl kind of comes in. I want to assume it's Supergirl. It's a super person, at least, who is a female. Fair. And she's like, she goes to, you know, what is... I forget what...
The Fortress of Solitude.
Yeah, that place. And Superman is frozen for some reason, which I don't really understand. Because, like, why would he be frozen? Why can't he get himself out of that?
Right.
Because he's Superman.
Yes.
And then... Sorry, I'm terrible. What my suspicions were true at the end, that this Batman character is not actually Batman. Spoiler alert.
After you say it.
Bruce Wayne is dead.
Whoa.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah.
All right.
And then there's a surprise comic book inside of that comic book.
Correct.
Which I didn't read, sorry. There's the Adam.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that book is the third in the trilogy of the Dark Knight Returns, Dark Knight Strikes Back, or Again, or whatever the name
is. Star Wars, you mean?
Yeah, I never remember. So, yeah, a lot of people are very interested in that book. I thumbed through it, and I was kind of like, eh.
But I picked it up. I didn't read it. No. I just picked it up because it was one of those kind of like, you know, you see it, and you're like... You
one see day this will be worth $10, kid.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Well, it cost like $6, so it better be.
It's Batman, and it's got Miller's name on the front.
Right. That's... Yeah. Miller, I want him to be good, man, but it's just... I got to read 90s and back, I guess.
He's run out of steam.
A little bit, yeah. Leander, you want to go?
We'll just going in a circle. Mm-hmm. This one will be quick.
Quick.
Monstrous from Image by Majori Liu and Sana Takeda did something as well.
I love it when you read people's names.
And... All right, Majori Liu.
There it is.
I hate this book.
What?
It's like in a post-apocalyptic... No, I'm sorry. It's a steampunkish kind of world with monsters in it. Like, is what I, with some divinity and some other things going on.
Just stay there, Rishi. Let him finish.
I honestly don't really want to rebuttal back right now. Because I haven't really read this yet, but I'm just going to let him go ahead. People I already know without reading book. It that I don't hate it.
Right, people do love this book.
That's unfortunate. So the thing is that from what I understand, again, it's all steampunkish. It's steampunk and divinity. Let's put those two together, and that's what this book is. But the characters are like a little off center. Like the art is amazing. I love the art. Right. There's no question about that. Okay, love the art because the art is amazing. But, like, the characters and what they say don't match up. When you look at them together, they don't seem to, like... That's not what I expect that person to say for some reason. It's very drawn out as well. Like, all the dialogue is very drawn out. So I kind of like, I don't even know what's going on. And they're drawing it out. I do love, generally, this concept of steampunk divinity. But I think the writing is poor for my personal taste. So I just... the art is amazing. If they just said nothing, I would just totally love this book. If they just use no words.
Interesting.
It's gorgeous as far as the art goes, but something about the writing just is not doing it for me.
Did you read the first one?
No. I just jumped to the second one. And by the time I got like halfway, like I couldn't even get to the middle. I was already done. I just stopped reading.
Yeah, I was saying, like, I'm offended, but I haven't read this. First off, you can't see me through your, you know, airwaves or whatever, but when Leander...
Try harder, you can.
You can, probably. when Leander started this, I was covering my ears because I was like, I don't want to know anything because I haven't gotten to the second issue yet. I haven't even really gotten through the first issue yet. But then I remembered that Leander's reviews are never really that spoilery. Mm. So, this comic book, from what I've read, it starts off really cool. Like, the chick's like, she starts off as a slave that gets sold as an indentured servant. Mm-hmm. That's as far as I've gotten. But this book, I've heard nothing but good things from, like,
it could everybody. Be. Okay, here's
I'll
what I'll say.
I'll have a better rebuttal next episode.
Sure. Here's what I'll say for now. This. I'll say these two things. One, again, it is probably among one of those beautifully drawn books I've seen in a very long time. It is gorgeous. So, look at it for the art. Two, you should probably start from issue number one. That's the best I can say. Do not jump into Monstrous number two. You will burn the book and think it's the worst thing that you've ever dealt with.
That first issue is like, it's a big issue too.
Yeah.
Compared mm-hmm. to that issue, mm-hmm. it's like, looks like a quarterly, because I thought it was a quarterly. That mm-hmm. book's huge, so there's probably a lot of content in that.
Yeah, that I'm missing. Because yeah. I'm just looking at it, it's like, why is this happening? And it doesn't make any sense. And then why is it all, like, I'm not engaged with the dialogue because I don't know these people, but yet they talk as if they've known each other forever.
Right.
And I just hate it. It's just, I don't know these people and they're just talking.
Yeah. I attempted to read that book, and I didn't make it either. Mm-hmm. I made it maybe like five pages in.
That's where I got.
On the first issue.
Even though...
Yeah, that's where I keep reading
the first few. But people love it. Like, it's not for everybody, but people love that book. Like, that's one of the most reordered books I've... You can't even get a first print of number one anymore.
I think it's because of art, honestly. I mean, the art is just gorgeous.
Well...
But as far as the writing, that's going to be up to who people who read issue number one.
All right. Sounds good. I'm going with Snowblind, number one of four. It is a Boom comic. I almost said Image. Sorry, Boom. It is a miniseries, one of four, Snowblind by Ollie Masters and Tyler Jenkins. This book has really cool watercolor kind of style artwork in it. It's about this kid who's, they live in Alaska. They're originally, their family's from Louisiana. And he just doesn't fit in this town at all. It starts off with the cops bringing him home, and they're like, you know, sorry to disturb your evening, but your son broke into the library and was reading books again. And it's like, what? And it's like, apparently the second or third time this has happened. And you find out that the kid just is, he's not trying to rebel, but he doesn't want to, you know, do the whole, like, let's go to the football game and hang out. And he doesn't even want to, like, chase girls and drink. Like, he just wants to do his own thing, and like his dad's kind of like this meathead kind of character, and his mother's just always siding with the dad. Well, his punishment, his dad says, look, you're gonna come, they have a cookout every year, and he's like, you're gonna come and you're gonna pretend you're having a great time, you're gonna socialize with the kids and everything, and that's your punishment. So he does. The dad passes out. He puts lipstick on the dad and he takes a picture of him. And with the dog, like, licking his face and everything, like, real. So he takes this picture of his dad, and one of his friends, quote-unquote friends, puts it on the internet, and it actually goes viral. So the dad's super pissed now, and he just keeps saying, you don't know who would see it, you don't know who would see it. Well, it goes, like, real viral. Like, it's like, you know, everybody sees it. And for, like, a week, it's, like, what everybody's talking about. This and along with some other photos, like, around the net. You find out, though, that somebody did see the photo, because somebody comes up to try to break into their house and get the dad. And you're like, okay, what the hell just happened? It turns out the family is in the witness protection program.
Oh, my God.
And because he made this thing go viral, somebody came up looking for the dad. So there's a lot of unanswered questions at the end of number one. I don't want to go into too much detail, because you don't know if the dad's like... he witnessed something, or if, like, the dad was, like, a scumbag and then he turned on people. Like, you have no idea. You do find out that the dad has a brother. You thought the dad was an only child. He has a twin brother. Mm. I'm like, this isn't even his dad. It's the twin. Like, I'm already speculating.
But, all the drama.
But this book, I just ordered it on a whim. It's really good, and I will absolutely get the rest of it.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah, it was really good. The art's great.
I got this book. This came out last week, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I got this last week too. I haven't gotten around to reading it, and it's a really serious book, but the one thing that made me like add it to my poll then was once I heard the, you know, what the book was about, the first thing I thought of was that episode of Family Guy where Chris gets put into a witness protection program, and for some reason that made me buy the book.
It's really good. I was the only one who ordered it. Sadly.
I'm going to add that to my Ben, too. I know I got the first one because I saw it in the shop. Is it on me now?
Yeah, Ben, go.
Is it my turn?
Do it.
All right. I am bringing you my first out of two reviews of a Greg Rucka book. This one is Dragon Age Mage Killer. I am a huge fan of the Dragon Age. I want to say the latest game because I haven't played the full series. Mm. But the latest one, Inquisition, is probably my favorite game of the last, like, 3 years. I put over 120 hours into that game, and I can't really find the time to game that much, so it's a pretty big chunk of my life. So I got into this book. I wanted to get this just to get a little bit more into the Dragon Age mythos and kind of understand, because Dragon Age, if you've played it, is a very in-depth game. There's so many just, like, side things that you can read endgame that don't have anything to do with your quest, but it's just a very, very rich universe. So that brings us to Mage Killer, which starts you off with these two characters, Marius and Tessa, who are, I mean, the book's pretty self-explanatory. They fight Tevinter mages. And for those of you that don't know, Tevinter mages are mages that use blood magic. And in Thedas, which is the area that Dragon Age takes place, it's a very frowned upon thing. They're kind of cast into their own part of the world and frowned upon. They're very powerful mages, however. So Marius and Tessa are bounty hunters that go around killing these guys. And Tessa is kind of like, you know, this is a job. I do this so I can, you know, put food on the table for myself. Where Marius, you can kind of tell that it's something deeper for him, that he has a reason that he has this kind of hate towards the mages. So they go around, kind of introduces kind of the setup between these two characters, what they do, how they do it, how strong Marius is. And the next setup you see is that they're kind of hiding out, waiting for the next mission to start. And Tessa brings him a book, which is by, can't think of his name right now, the dwarf from the Dragon Age series. Why am I drawing a blank right now?
Dude, why are you drawing a
blank? I'm drawing a blank.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I can't remember his name.
Yeah,
the dwarf from Dragon
Age. Varric, yeah, it's a book by Varric, which, as you know, if you've played Inquisition, Varric is a novelist in his free time, so that was kind of a cool call to the back to the video games. And as she's giving him this, they realize they've been followed to their hotel, and the person's like, I have a job for you. I'll pay you whatever you want. The problem is, the person sending me here is a blood mage. But there's another separate group of blood mages that are using children's blood to come up with this kind of very grand scheme spell, and even not frowned down upon this. So the book...
It's gotta be bad.
Yeah. Well, not me, the character. But I'm proud, you know, upon it as well. So they end up going to this part of Thedas, and they kind of knew what it was. The book ends on a cliffhanger. It's a trap. It's like, well, now that I have you here, I want to show you who I actually want to kill. Now, the one problem I have with this is if you're a Dragon Age fan, if you're part of the universe, if you've known about it already, you'll love it. You won't find out that much more about the universe from reading this book, though, because I didn't find out anything new. It was just kind of more of a calling to what I already knew about the universe. Still a solid book, though. Very Greg Rucka-esque, and I think it's a pretty solid book.
Rucka's amazing.
Yeah. I'll come back to that, too.
All right. Well, I'm going to call it here, and we're going to do a mini-sode with the rest of our reviews, because time is not kind to us. So,
never is.
Thank you guys for listening again. Check out our Facebook page for the link if you guys want to help out Hakeem. And that's about it.
All right.
Thank you for listening.
See you later.
Bye.
See you.